No, I don't watch the news.
My mama called me crying. Please, it's not recording, is it?
Don't worry about it. Just
okay, yeah, my mom was proud of me.
Sean don't know when he's recording half the time anyway.
Yeah.
Sean is constantly like, we did a whole podcast one time and we didn't even record. It was a good, it was probably the best one we ever did.
It was, and it was not something we could have aired.
Yeah, I know.
And but it was great. It was really good. But no, I think you told me after that one, a couple hours later, I was pretty bummed out because I really wanted to get this guy on the street in Mexico at sunset, and it was great. I mean, this guy's a storyteller, and Brian's like, you know, sometimes just work out. Maybe God had his hand on that one.
Oh yeah.
And he definitely did.
I just sent it to you.
It was unique. It was a unique and it was a good experience, but
it's good warm up.
Yeah.
Moving kind of slow. From my phone is. But yeah, I made the news.
Oh,
it's the first time I ever made the news and it didn't say after an 18-month joint task force investigation.
Your mom probably called you crying after that one too.
No, she couldn't call me. I was detained.
God. All right, let's watch Garrett Baker. See how famous you are here.
For almost 5 years, the historic Lake Charles Chapter 165 is back to operating out of there and has rededicated the lounge.
There he is.
Jesus. Back to restoration. It's a symbol of our town coming back to life.
As a historical thing, it goes back 300 years into the reception of a facility where our brethren can meet on a brotherly basis.
The Freemasonry is one of the world's oldest and largest fraternity organization. The group says that they encourage personal growth and self-improvement for those that they service. Now that the building is back up and running, they hope to reach more people.
It teaches guys over there to be charitable and to be pillars in their community.
The fraternity works closely with dyslexia students by offering courses.
No wonder Garrett's in it.
It's for no charge.
Yep.
We sponsor the dyslexia clinics that we have throughout the state of Louisiana to help our children that have dyslexia at no cost to the families at all. We are here to help our neighbors in any possible way we can and to help all of those who are in need.
Reopening the doors is just the first step in what they hope to do to reach more individuals in Southwest Louisiana.
We are a charitable organization. And
man, they gave y'all a long bit.
It was the lead story that night too. It's pretty cool.
In Lake Charles, Stephanie Abdiku, 7 News.
Yeah,
very cool, man. I had no idea.
Yeah,
you gonna sign autographs after this?
No, I don't do autographs.
All right, so personal growth, charitable organization, pillars of the community.
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna hold you up to that standard.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I fail a lot, you know. Talk about coming up short, but it actually teaches you, like, that's one thing that Masonry really does teach you. It teaches you that, like, to try to achieve perfection, but know that there's going to be mistakes. That's where there's a lot of things that are, like, extremely repetitive that we do, like, for our meetings and everything like that, like, ritualistic, right? But it's all that's what is the premise of it is to teach you, like, try to be perfect, you know?
Yeah.
Like, know that you're going to make the mistake. And when you make the mistake, don't beat yourself up over it. Because in the beginning, you're like, oh, I'm going to be perfect. But
yeah,
it teaches you to fail gracefully.
I mean, yeah, that's a good skill. That's a good skill, man. That's a good skill.
Or to, like, move on, you know what I mean? Like, move on from it. Like, just,
yeah,
like, move forward.
So, oh, I can see that.
Yeah, so it was.
Well, I mean, just to you kind of switch from there is, you know, Masons, you know, been around since, you know, way before we were around. It's been around a long time. And, you know, so has Manners, you know,
yeah.
And, you know, they I'm sure Masonry had, you know, way back when they had their bylaws and they have, you know, what they stand for. And you know, Manners has kind of been in all societies. It's kind of like a, you know, what do they value? What's important to them? You know, and
yeah.
I think old school, like maybe when our parents were young, you know, Manners were a huge deal. 40s, 50s, 30s, like it was a big deal in the United States. You know, how you interacted with people in public, you know? And I think that's changed. I'm like, what is considered good manners? You know, do we even need manners? You know, what role do they play in our society? You know, I think a lot of that has changed from back in the day, you know, I mean, what's your thoughts?
No, it has changed, and it's sad that it's changed, because it's an important pillar to success. It's the fundamentals of respect, right? And like to greet someone with a sir and a ma'am and not a what.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think manners are important. I think one thing that's lost too is like the civilized eating practices, I guess you'd say, like setting the table and things like that. It's just all these little things that are important, and some of them I'm not as familiar as I should be or as well versed, you know, because there's certain, like when you do become successful, you're going to go into settings and there's going to be multiple forks on the table.
Yes. Yes.
No one tells you that you got to go from outside in.
Yes. Yes.
I think we watched the same movies, didn't we?
Yeah. I do think that everybody has that experience, right?
Oh, it's a panic, yeah.
Be it a real fancy, you know, church. You know,
we just watched, Brian and I recently watched the J.D. Vance movie, and it was exactly that. He was J.D., it's the story of his memoirs or growing up, autobiography. And he was sitting at a dinner trying to get in a Harvard or Yale internship.
Yeah.
And he was looking at the forks, and his girlfriend was on the, his wife now is on the phone. She's like, just start on the outside and start working the silverware.
Yeah. No, yeah, I see that movie. It actually happened to me. I went to a black tie dinner with one of my mentors, and plate got sat down, you know, and I was like, oh man, which one of these do I use? And he leaned over and was like, and he told me, he was like, outside in. It's like, okay, cool. I'm good. Now I know what to do. Right.
No,
but
doubt.
Before that, I didn't. And then when we got out, he didn't beat me up about it. He just was like, man, that's something that was taught when they were in school, you know, like home economics. They were taught to set the table.
So to go along with that, standing up, you know, standing up to greet somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, when somebody new comes to the table, you know, manners like that, you know, when somebody leaves the table standing, you know, when a female in particular, you know, just it's weird. And I don't follow them like so I should.
Have y'all encountered times where you were trying to do that and it was not received well? Don't call me sir. Don't call me ma'am. Don't, you know, don't open the door. I can hold my own door, that kind of stuff. I have.
Yeah, no, I have, but that's not going to stop me. Like I'm not going to blatantly be disrespectful, but I'm gonna be like, I apologize. That's just the way I was raised. You know, like I think that there's a certain level of chivalry we need to bring back.
I agree. I always try to walk on the street side. If I'm walking on the sidewalk, my wife or
any female
or anyone that I'm protecting is on the inside and I'm on the outside. And
I try to walk behind. I don't know why.
About 6 to 10 steps with your head down?
No, my head up. Like I would rather, if I'm in a big group, I'll always lag behind just in case something's gonna, you know what I mean?
I thought that's where you belonged in your relationship.
No, sometimes it feels that way. I do belong. Like, you know, she's like, get behind me, peasant.
You know, just know your place, bro. Know your place, you know?
It's hell being married to a diva.
The goddamn, the Irish go to the back of the bus, bro. All right. We know that in America. No, I'm just messing with you. I think when it comes to manners, like you say, I think sometimes I've been that guy. Like, hey, don't call me sir. Like, I'm just Brian, you know. Yeah. And I've had a rule. Now I've gotten old enough to where I don't enforce it because I am, but I used to tell them, if I'm not old enough to be your dad, you can't call me sir. You have to call me Brian. Even though I'm the boss here, whatever else, I don't want you to call me, you know, sir or boss or whatever. I want you to just say, hey, Brian, you know, whatever. But now I'm 46, so most of the people that work for me, I am old enough to be their dad. So it's okay. They can call me sir. And that might have been, you know, some of that imposter syndrome or just something I wasn't used to. But I was that person, even though I called everybody sir. Even now, if you're my elder by 10 years or more, I'm going to likely call you sir. A lot of times I do it to people younger than me. I think it's a Southern thing. Yeah. You know, it's a sign of respect.
So that's similar. My father-in-law is a pastor, and formerly people call him pastor or brother, this or that. And so there's levels of it, but he's also my father-in-law. So I rarely use his real name unless the only time I use his first name is when we're like at a deer camp, because he's around his brother-in-laws and his people. And we, it's just turned into a first name basis. Like that's the bottom of it. But there's different times for different things. If I see you in the office, I'm going to probably refer to you as yes, sir.
You do actually, now that you say that sometimes.
If we're at the camp, I'll be like, hey, bro.
Yeah.
You know, much more informal. Just that's a habit that I didn't have. I had to create that. But,
you know, that's another thing too. When you say, you know, Pastor, you know, Jim or Pastor, you know, we used to always say that, or brother. Like I find, I just call Andy, Andy.
I call him AT.
AT, Andy Thomas. Yeah. Oh, shoot. I edit that out. I'm sorry. Probably not supposed to be using names.
Yeah, just call him AT.
AT.
Yeah, I'm like.
Yeah. But yeah, yeah. I mean, I know some, you know, pastors from another church, and I don't call him Pastor Terry. I just call him Terry. What's up, Terry?
Yeah.
And then I know another pastor. His name's Gil.
Like,
what's up, Gil? You know, I mean, I just talk to him like normal. Now, look, they're more my age, you know, so if they were older, I might, you know. Well,
that, like, honestly, I don't know if that applies to, like, if you have a true relationship with that person, right? Like I know in a professional setting you need to be formal, but like I don't feel like church is a professional setting. I think church should be a little more informal than usual, right? Because you're gonna get to know people in a different way spiritually than you will, you know, like.
Well, I mean, think of manners back in the day. Speaking of church manners, like. When I grew up, we wore dang near a tie, you know, but it was slacks and a button up and nice shirts.
Yeah.
I wear flip flops and hey dudes, you know, to church now and shorts, you know. I literally, this is what I wore to church today.
I did.
Exactly what I'm wearing. Yeah.
Tracksuit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Very casual.
Yeah.
You know?
I really like that tracksuit, by the way. Like I saw it. I was like, I really,
I just need to, I think it's sharp.
It's my grandpa tracksuit.
I mean, yeah, that's your mafia tracksuit is what that is, man. That's your mafia ties, bro. I probably shouldn't be saying that. You probably need to edit that out, too.
I mean, it is what it is. Let them think. You know?
I'm just saying.
No, I mean,
so situational. There's networks and circles that we run in that have different levels of formality. I mean, you're talking about just sitting at a table. You know, that there's paper plate and plastic fork situations too.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a way of judging how formal you want to speak to somebody. I mean, if it's a buffet.
Yeah.
I mean, it really, really calms some things down.
No, I think you're absolutely right. Cause, even in my world, you know, medical world, you know, scrubs and a t-shirt is kind of the uniform, you know, for most people. I can't remember the last time I wore scrubs and a t-shirt because of my position. I don't go to work in shorts. Unless I'm passing through when I'm on a day off to do something.
Right.
But I don't because, you know, my position says I need to wear, you know, at worst jeans and a nice shirt, but you know, at best, you know, it's most days it's slacks and it's because of my position and, you know, I don't want to be disrespectful to the position, if that makes sense.
Yeah. You have to be a standard bearer at that point. Right.
So we're talking about modern day manners. One of the things that from a time management standpoint is being on time and leaving on time. That's another one. Who's in charge of that? How do you respect someone else's schedule? So let's say we have a meeting set for an hour. If I'm there 15 minutes late, stay 15 or 30 minutes past it, I've ruined 2 hours of your day and you had scheduled me for that hour. Vice versa. I was very inefficient from a time management, but it can be an accidental form of disrespect to the people around you just by showing up late or staying too long.
Yeah.
You know, there's some old dinner party etiquette where on the invitation, it's from 7 to 9 PM and you're walking out the door at 8:59, like it's over.
Yeah.
And I know some people that are in their 70s, 80s. If you don't send them a formal invitation, they're not coming. If it doesn't come in the mail on a handwritten piece of paper, they're like, we didn't get a formal invitation. Facebook invite is not going to get it for them. Like,
yeah,
I mean, it's just how, you're right, that's how that was taught.
Sure. I mean, I didn't even think of that type of thing. Like, I guess I'm terrible at overstaying, right? Like, in terms, typically be a little, either right on time, a little early, or a little late.
Well, look, I was 15 minutes late today, and the funny thing is,
that's why I brought it up. I just want to go. Which is a long, long joke here.
It's because I don't respect their time.
No, it was actually
them as people, because that's what the spirit of offense would say.
I said, "Where's Brian at?" And he said, "Oh, he's right on time." I said, "He's gonna be 15
minutes late."
Yeah,
you know, and I would, I got the gosh honest truth is, if y'all are the, you know, VP of safety for a large, you know, construction company, I'd be 15 minutes early.
Yeah, but you were actually 4 minutes early.
Okay. Was I four minutes early?
Yeah, it was 2:11.
Oh, okay. I knew I was late, but yeah. But it is. It's disrespectful. And when I'm not hanging out with guys that I know love me and show me grace, you know, I'm very self-conscious about that. Well, like, I didn't care about it today because it's you guys.
Yeah. Well, exactly. And it's paper plates, right? I mean,
we're paper plates. That's right.
We're not sitting at the restaurant reservation.
And I think that all of us are pretty, I guess you'd say, schedule driven throughout the week.
Yes.
So we do this. We want it to be a little informal. That way we can, it can be relaxed and we can mull through things, right? So I don't think the manners, that doesn't really imply, like, it doesn't, I guess we should apply it a little more, right? But,
you know, I love that we're talking about manners and we got to people's time is valuable.
Oh, 100%.
Man, I find that, you know, in the business world, let's talk about that for a second. Not only when you schedule one, either if you're the vendor or somebody's trying to sell it to you, because, you know, uniquely, I'm on both sides. Most of the time, I'm out doing business development for my company, but many times, you know, I'm being the owner of the company and I'm having people come talk to me about different services or different products they can supply. So I'm on both sides. So I'm very, attentive to value their time and my time. My time is very valuable, but I find in today's world, they try to push things on me all the time. Like, even, you know, my old CPA, they would send me this giant packet, which is basically filling out everything for them, like, from how much money did you make last year, what's the TIN number, what's this and that, and I'm like, I'm not filling out a 15 page document just so you can go transpose it. Number one, you did my taxes for the last 10 years, you got half this information, and number two, you can take those numbers off of my out of my QuickBooks just as easily if I, you know. It's like they want you to do their job for them. And that's just one that popped in my head, but there's a lot of them nowadays that just, they don't value your time. And when somebody shows up late to me, I don't care if it's somebody that I'm selling to or that they're selling to me, it really, you know, frustrates me if they're nonchalant. Now, if you show up for 10 minutes late, it happens at times. Hey, but I profusely apologize when I'm late. Like, I am so sorry.
But I let people know if I'm going to be late before I'm even late. Like,
correct.
Because there's a lot of times when I'm traveling and it could be I could hit some traffic somewhere that I wasn't expecting, and I know that this is gonna set me back 15 minutes, right? And I might only had that window in there, and then there, you know.
Yep.
So I just, as soon as I encounter it, I'll fire off a message or I'll try to call them and be like, hey, look, I hit some traffic over here, but I am on my way, and things like that. But I honestly believe that, I mean, with the lack of manners that we have, it's you can say that it impacts the service that we get as well. Like, the you know what I mean? People losing that old school man, like, because we're seeing like the erosion of service in the United States.
Yes. Yes. There was I'm an adventurer by spirit, right? I love it. And so I was watching some of the Anthony Bourdain. He was in, I believe, Argentina. No Reservations, or one of these shows where he goes around and just integrates with the local population on cooking and how they eat. And he was spending some time with a true waiter. And it was, they were talking about, this was 10 years ago, and they're talking about it. He might be the last generation of a true waiter in the restaurant business that did all of the things and worked purely for tips. There was no hourly wage. It was just 100% for tips, for service, but in the nicer restaurants. And talking about that, we might be seeing the last of them. I mean, yeah. Because it's not what it was.
No.
It was a trade. It was taught. It was earned. And to be a table waiter at a five-star restaurant in New York City, it was rare that you got that position before 40 years old. I mean, you had to work your way into it. It was a career path that was respectable.
Yeah.
And it's now it's only wait tables to get through this, or it's almost looked down upon to serve somebody else.
But that's what, so that's the crazy part about society, is that they don't understand that, like, everyone wants to be an owner. Everybody wants to be the king, but they don't realize that, like, in order to be an owner, that's a servant role. In order to be the king, you're a servant to the people. You know what I mean? Like, you're not. So people have a tyrannical mindset and don't understand that they have that. And it affects everything. It affects the way that they encounter people. And they look at people like they're below them. Like, man, look, if there's a homeless guy on the corner and I feel led to speak to him, I'm going to speak to him. I'm not going to ignore him. I'm going to at minimum acknowledge him. Right, because I might be the only person that acknowledges that dude that day, and that might spark something in his heart, right? And I've needed people to acknowledge me at times, and I wasn't acknowledged.
I think back in the day, there was more that was frowned upon more. Like the CEO, you treated him a different way, or the principal or the boss.
Yeah.
You know, like there was a lot more formal manners, you know, back when we were younger. I think that's less and less. It's becoming more informal.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. Like, you know, that's one of the things that bothers me. Like I want to hear, you know, a couple of things from you guys. The first one I want to hear is, you know, has anyone got mad about your good manners? Like, you did something nice. Like, somebody didn't get mad, but we mentioned it on another podcast we had earlier is, you know, you're taught to lift heavy things for a female, you know, as a young man in the South. And hey, don't let your mom carry that, you know, don't let your mom carry that case of waters in the house, boy, you go grab them, you know. Mm-hmm. We've all been there, you know, and that's ingrained in us. And I lifted a female was with us, you know, on a trip, and we were going up some stairs, you know, a couple flights of stairs. And I intuitively grabbed her suitcase along with mine and went to walk up and got it snatched back out of my hand about the second step. Nope. I got that, yeah. You know, and it, you know, they weren't really angry. They just, you know, they wanted to carry their own gosh dang bag. Yeah. And how dare you, you know, and it wasn't like that with this one, but it could have been, right.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, she was just, you know, a strong, independent woman, you know, basically.
Like an actual strong, independent woman.
A real one. Yeah. Not just one on TikTok. Yeah. Right. You know, like a real one. And so she just preferred to grab it. And she said, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, she wasn't upset with me, but it was something that it was unwanted.
Yeah.
I'd be anxious to hear some guys, you know, or some ladies that might've been upset with you for what you thought was good manners.
Well, I've had a couple interesting experiences. I've happily been married for 21 years, and Holly jokes around, like, you're oblivious to other women. Like, I just, they don't, not an issue. I'm happy.
Sure.
So when I do a kind thing, open a door, let me help you with this stuff.
Yep.
I've had them, it's rare, but I've had on occasion them look at me like maybe I was hitting on them or something. And my response was, please, please don't confuse my kindness with interest. And I snapped, and that was not taken very well. And I probably should have said that differently, but I was so worried about it coming off that way. I'm like, you're going to cause me to not be kind to other people.
Yes.
Calm down. You're not that special. I'm just trying to be kind. That's all. And I don't know. That was an experience I had. I'm not saying
like some sort of gif or meme where this girl's like, oh my gosh, I got a boyfriend. And he's like, okay, I was just holding the door for you.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Good. You know, but yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
I've unintentionally not been like kind in certain situations, or I've unintentionally not use my manners, like being in the midst of something and, you know, not looking who's behind me or anything like that, and go through a door.
But it's slapping them in the face.
Kinda, you know, not slap them in the face, but like And then I see it, but I've acknowledged the fact, like, hey, I'm sorry, I didn't see you there. I would have held the door, you know. And they basically hit me with the, it's too late. But I think when you look at G Bake, like I'm very respectful to people in public.
Yep.
It's
behind their back where you're not.
Right. So that's exactly what I was going to ask. Are you the same gentleman and have the same manners when you're behind the steering wheel with tinted windows on the interstate?
Oh, absolutely not.
No freaking way. Yeah. I'm not. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not. Matter of fact, I saw this ingenious thing. I've been saying this for years, speaking of road rage stuff, which I'm guilty of it. But for years, I've been wanting a sign on the top of my car. And I wanted to say a couple of things. Like, this is our $1 million idea, guys. You know, nobody's listening to me right now, but I'm telling you right now. You get a little LED light, and you can type in phrases from your phone, and you can put it on your back glass, and it can be like, get in the right lane, slow traffic, right lane, idiot, you know, something like that, you know, or dude, you know, somebody that cuts everybody off, maybe you just, you know, give them a nice little, you know, bird or something, you know, I mean, you know, I don't know, you know,
this is a line of middle fingers.
Yeah. It could be a line of emojis.
Would it look something like this? Amazon for $23.
Oh, somebody already made it up. Can you do it from your phone and everything?
Yeah.
Oh man, somebody already had that great idea.
You pre-programmed buttons.
Well, so everybody knows what I don't want for Christmas.
Yeah. That's a cheap one too.
Add to cart.
Oh my gosh. That's gonna be amazing. Candace's gonna be so mad. No. But no, just because we don't have good manners. It's like all the keyboard warriors nowadays. Yeah. I was talking to somebody about that the other day. I'm like, you know, people are just crueler now and say things that they would never say if they were in somebody's face through that keyboard or through that. And it's the same thing we do when we're road raging. And I'm like, yeah, because they don't have to worry about toting a butt whooping.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day, if you wanted to say some smart stuff, which I did, you know, but there was always the possibility that I might have to back it up. Yeah. You know, sometimes it came to that, sometimes it didn't. But I probably filtered myself on what I could have said.
Yes.
You know, knowing that there was that possibility.
If we were in the 1600s in France and you insulted a man's wife, you might get challenged to a duel and you might die over it. Like,
might be a duel with swords.
Yes. I mean, like, legit, real deal.
Yeah.
No, but that goes back to what's eroding American society is like. I think kids need their ass whooped more. And I know that's not like a popular thing. I'm a corporal punishment guy. Like, hey, take ISS out of school and start paddling these kids. A little public humiliation, it does a lot for the soul, right? The
psychologist will disagree
with you. I don't care.
I've been listening to these parenting books here recently, and they basically say everything against that and just after listening.
Look at
I'm not disagreeing with you at all, by the way. I'm just saying.
Manners, like using your manners and being respectful, you know, it led to a different way of conflict resolution. Like now there's no conflict resolution. I feel bad for these kids when they enter into the real world and they kind of get punched in the mouth a little bit. They had never been punched in the mouth literally. So when it figuratively happens, they don't know how to react or respond, and I think that it all goes back to the way that we were raised with manners and the respect and the, like, and how you encounter disrespect, because we were taught that as well, right?
Yeah.
You know, I had a dad my dad had a long fuse, but once you lit it, you know, Katie barred the door. You better get out the way, because he's gonna like all the manner, because he was a very meek, calm, respect driven or, you know, centric dude. But when it was time to be disrespectful, like when it was
go there.
Yeah.
He's gonna live there for a little bit till he got out of the system.
It was scorched earth.
Yeah, I could see, you know, I could see you being the same way, though. I mean, exactly. Very respectful under most circumstances until that switch flips.
Yeah.
You know? Sean, actually, I mean, Sean can flip it on and then turn it off in about, you know, 2 minutes, you know, where me or you might not be able to. He's got more control of the switch.
Yeah.
You know, I think.
I like that that perception is real.
Yeah.
To y'all.
That is the perception is real. I just hadn't seen you lose it as much. You know, I mean, we've been friends, what, two and a half years?
Yeah. I try to control it. I mean, we're back to that 2-3% rule. Like there, I can't hold it down. There's 2 or 3% of the time I cannot control it, and I'm going to be upset, and it's ugly, ugly because I've kept it in so long.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. I mean, I've never seen it before, but I can understand.
There's no need for it, right?
I mean, sometimes there is.
You stay in your place, so we're good.
Most of the time. Like, Josh.
I guess I'm jacked up on medicine right now.
I'm the beta omega in this relationship. Which is okay. I mean, I don't like you off all the time.
You know, hold the door for me.
I will. When I'm walking, when you're walking on the street side of me, I'll know.
Yeah, you got to protect.
Yeah, he's protecting me. Well, and that's some of the things that, you know, just manners in general. You know the way you treat people. Like we said, we're talking about keyboard warriors and even our own road rage, right? Just the way. I don't remember my dad having road rage like I did back then.
I remember seeing my pops like
they would have road rage over navigation. We had have better navigation. They would always argue.
Maybe they were too busy looking at a map.
My pop was pretty. There was times where it was, was like, man, it was about to go down. Like, you know, he would. He actually told me one day he didn't. He was like, I will not put a gun in my car because I know how.
Oh my gosh, I do have a gun in my car almost exclusively, but yeah. I never think about using the pistol ever.
No, but he just was like, he would get so mad. You know, it would, you just kind of would get I'll just get real quiet and let him do his
thing. So I like the flip side of that though. There's flash in the pan people. So I'm chill until I'm not. And then I'm mad for 3 days. My wife, on the other hand, can pop off and be over it and pop off and be over it.
Yeah. Holly and I are similar. Like,
you're right.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of like the people, in other countries, even like up north, it's a little bit different down here. They're going to blow their horn at you at intersection. Move. Yeah. They're not mad. Just move. Yeah. You know, and apparently there's levels of aggression with how you blow your horn. Yeah. Like there really is.
Yeah, like in cities and third world countries, I don't understand it. Yeah. Like sometimes I get angry when somebody honks at me. I'm like, was like a millisecond after it turned green.
And it's not we forget though that a horn is a tool. If they use it up there, we don't use it.
I guess that's true.
They're talking. There was a taxi cab I was in one country, and they had they had relocated the horn button to the stick shift. And they had a little momentary button, and they could sit there, and that's how often that guy used that horn, and it sounded like he was playing a keyboard.
Oh, nice!
All the time, yeah.
Interesting.
So, but those manners in driving. I mean, we're kind of talking about that.
Well, what manners nowadays? Let's be grumpy old men for a second.
Let's do it.
All right, we're grumpy because we are, even though we don't think we are. What is a manner nowadays that you see that when somebody breaks it or, you know, doesn't do it, like you get angry or feel really, really disrespected? Like what's something that's considered bad manners? Might not be a terrible thing that they do, but something that like a pet peeve when you're like, gosh, dang it, I hate it. Like I said, I hate it when slow people in the right lane on the interstate. I mean, in the left lane on the interstate, it drives me insane, especially when it's an 18 wheeler and they're 2 and 3 wide. Drives me up the wall. And I don't know why. It's not that big a deal. I'm not losing that much time waiting on them, but gosh, it makes me angry.
So I get frustrated at restaurants. And I know that this isn't, I feel like this isn't just me in my own world. I will leave my phone in the car. I don't even bring it in, which is apparently pretty rare these days.
It is.
But
very rare.
It frustrates me to watch even other families. And all of them are paying $200 for a meal for 5 people at steakhouse or something.
That's etiquette, though, right?
And they're staring at their phones and they're not talking to each other. Yep. Manners, not manners.
So is etiquette? What's the point of going out? Thing?
I would say they're similar. You know, I mean, etiquette would be more.
Etiquette is closer to ethics, where it's different than law. So if you're on the board of a public company, you have ethics that you live within. It's local rules for that assembly. So our manners in this country are different than the manners, say, in India, where you sit on the floor barefoot and eat your food in the way that you do. And I'm not being disrespectful. That's just how they do it. We're here. Yeah. We think we have to have a coat and tie to go to a nice restaurant. Different countries have different, Mexico, family style dinner, one pan of food, no plates, and we just eat off of it. Right. Yeah. That's very, very common. Those manners. I mean, you eat your amount of food, your portion size, and that's normal. Whereas, here, you know, God forbid you sit down with strangers and eat off the same plate of food. Right.
Yeah. It's only allowed if it's appetizer.
Appetizers. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know, man. It's okay. No, I just need a clarification on that, because it's like, now that you say it, 100% etiquette is manners, but it is so
chopsticks, right?
Regionality. I love eating chopsticks.
Yeah, but if you just stick them in the bowl of rice straight up and down, it means the food was bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you lay them on the side, and that means it was good, right?
Yeah.
So
really, I never knew that.
Etiquette is local to that culture or that group of people. So it's similar to ethics.
Okay.
Correct me if you're wrong. Comments, please, people.
Yes, yes. I would love to hear y'all correct him in the comments. That would make my day.
Roasted.
That would actually. Here's one that gets me.
And I'm gonna have to be like Rogan. I'm gonna change my profile. I believe in dragons. Did you see that?
No. I have no idea what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about?
I don't watch. I don't listen to Joe Rogan very often.
One of the ladies on The View said that his information was useless because he believes in dragons. And so he went on Twitter and changed his profile or bio to believes in dragons.
That is funny. So it was basically a pettiness thing. Trolling. Yeah, he's trolling. Yeah, yeah, I like it. I like it.
Well, and so I will say this too, like in terms of manners and everything like that, it's not just a male issue. Honestly, I have a daughter. I have a wife that my wife is, she works in a professional setting. So like,
yep.
I don't know I'm trying to be diplomatic with the way that I word it. Like I believe that a woman should always be treated as a lady and all this and stuff. You should be respectful. You should do all this other stuff. But I think that there's a certain sect of individuals, and I don't know what you want to call them. I'm not going to throw out the feminist term and all this other stuff, but I think that women have become ultra disrespectful in the face of men that use manners or are respectful and treat them as, you get what I'm saying? And that's in a professional setting, which it boils over to a personal setting, right? Like, why is it okay to treat a female teacher a certain kind of way, but a female constituent or female employee, you have to treat them in a different way, right? And you have to tiptoe around things, or, you know, like there's some women that don't want to be called ma'am in the boardroom or just things of that nature that kind of irk my nerve. Like the wokeness of society is eroding the fundamental respect and manners of society at the same time.
Yeah, you worried about calling people by gender because you might, you know, say yes ma'am or yes sir, because maybe I misgendered them, and that is sexist. And, you know, I see what you're saying.
And then, so what, like, who defines this, and who says, okay, but at the same time, if you don't do something, you know, and I've been in a situation, and this is no lie, where I've been corrected for being, like, I guess, too respectful, right? Like, hey, you might want to tone down the yes ma'ams and stuff like that.
Well, you're just kissing somebody's butt.
She thinks that's condescending.
But at the same time, was kind of like corrected because I watched that same person struggle with the case of water.
Got you.
And this is in a professional setting. So, like, where does it start and where does it stop? Like,
I think it's internal.
Yeah. Like, I can't just treat you like a lady on ladies' night at the bar. You know what I mean?
I can tell you this. You get to pick who you spend time around.
Yeah.
And workplace is one thing. But generally speaking, there would be some distance put in my relationship with that person pretty quick.
No, absolutely. Like, I never had a relationship.
Not because I'm mad at them, but because it causes me to be extremely uncomfortable to not just be kind. So maybe I'm going to gravitate towards somebody that has some similar.
What I like the thing of man, like socially, like I hate the term, is this socially acceptable? Like, it's something that, especially being in the South, that we're raised with, right? The sirs, the ma'ams, the opening the door, you know, like the helping to go and help somebody. If you see an elderly person struggling with their groceries, you go and help them, and you like
An elderly lady that has a large thing of groceries in her bag, and I'm see her and I walk past her and she stops at her Ford Escape and pulls up the hatch, you know.
Yeah.
I'm likely going to offer to help him, but sometimes they're like, oh no, don't, you know, they almost think you're trying to help them. Well, and here's my pet peeve too. And you kind of went into it, is I'm going to add this, and this drives me insane. There's nothing that, and I don't know why this is a me thing, probably. There's nothing that drives me insane more is people on their phone or even look you dead in the eyes. You hold the door for them and they're 6-7 steps out. And I hold the door for them. I always do that. I don't know why. I just like it. And when people do it for me, I'm always like, man, thank you so much. When they don't even at least acknowledge me, give me a head nod, like, thanks if you're talking on the phone, or say a quick thanks or whatever. When they look me dead in the eye and walk right past me like I'm their gosh dang doorman, that burns me up. And I, you know, I never say anything to them. I don't go run them down and go, hey, go back outside and slam the door on them, make them open their own door or anything. But I'm always in my mind like, what a punk, you know?
Well, that's, I race to the door. Like, if I see somebody and we're within the same amount of steps, I'm going to speed up my steps so I can get to the door first so I can open it for them, whether it be a man, woman, same age, you know, older, younger. I think it's one thing I like to do, man. I like to just, I don't know. Opening the door for people is the simplest form of courtesy.
Yep.
And it's one of the most.
I got a job as an usher at the church one time because I was opening the doors. Church was letting out. So. And 35 people later, they just they handed me an usher's coat and I was a doorman for the next service. Yeah, I turned into a greeter for the second service, I think, because they just would not stop leaving and then coming in. And my family's in the car going, we got to leave. I'm like, when do I close the door? In somebody's face, who do I pick? Nobody's taking this job from me.
Now, I will not lie. The usher thing is.
You need to go to church with better people, it sounds like.
Yeah.
You know, them guys need to go and grab that door, you know?
So Brian can attest to this. Like, I used to have anxiety if they would put me as an usher, and I asked them to stop making me be the usher. And they only did it like 3 or 4 times because, you know, I'm not the person that when I respectfully walk up to you and say, excuse me, sir, and I don't know you, would you please move to the middle? You know, so
you,
other
you need
people
to
can
be on
sit.
The security team.
No, I'm great as a greeter.
He's good as a greeter.
Notch, you know, like like,
he's got a charm. He's got a charm.
But like, if I ask you to move and you don't move, oh man, now we got into something different. Now, like,
you're a bouncer,
bro. You in church? You trying to worship all the Lord? You can't move 3 seats over. You selfish. Man, why don't you come over here behind this church over here? We're gonna talk about this for a second. This is where Jesus likes me to talk to people back to.
Here's kind of tied in.
Kneecaps for Jesus.
So kind of tied into faith and leadership in my home and those around me. One of the ways that I look at it is because I'm not an expert. I did zero research on manners before.
This is how we do.
We just go off the cuff. Absolutely authentic. Yeah. This is what you're getting. But one of the ways that I filter that is, am I showing kindness? And are people finding me friendly to others? Am I trying to walk in Jesus's footsteps? How would he act to others and treat others? And we're down to the golden rule, right? You know, treat others as you want to be treated. That's a pretty good filter, in my opinion, for just living life. If you don't know what you're supposed to do in this situation, treat them how you
know. That's funny that you say that and you bring that up about Jesus's life. He had a whole separate, I mean, the Jewish customs, man, they had a list, you know, gazillion pages long.
Very legalistic.
This is very legal. And some of them were legal, and then some of them were just, like you say, etiquette and, you know, and general manners back in the day. Like, a lot of times when you're listening to a sermon, the pastor needs to tell you, okay, now back in these days, you know, this was the custom. The custom was that, you know, polygamy was the custom back in the day, or, you know, this and that. And you almost, the manners and the etiquette of the day set how Jesus and how other people in the Bible stories are set in the manners of the day, you know.
Yeah.
That was really disrespectful. And we're like, that doesn't seem disrespectful at all.
Well, there's even scripture referring to.
What do you mean the Pharaoh found Sarah attractive? You know, that kind of stuff.
Right. There's scripture like when, you know, pay Rome their taxes, you know, whatever it is, you're under their rule. Obey those rules.
Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's.
Right. Yeah. And so I did a quick Google search because I've never studied the Bible for manners. And I looked it up and we can dig into it and find some, but everything I found about it was just more along the lines of show kindness, show faithfulness, show this, show that, and how you act as a person. But there's no etiquette that I could find on how we're supposed to eat our meal or open doors for ladies or not, you know. I didn't see a lot in there about that.
No, you didn't say all the things that are clean to eat, not clean. You want to go just plug in.
Well,
no, I know it's Old Testament, New Testament, but I'm joking about that stuff. But no, I agree with you. Kindness and respect. I think respect is another big part of it. You know, manners, when we're in a boardroom or when we're at church or we're at a high level, what we feel like is a high level meeting with high level people, our manners go up, you know, and especially if we don't know them. So if we're getting to know somebody, we want to convey respect and we want to convey kindness.
Yeah.
You know, in a business development situation, which we all are, or if we're in a leadership in a teaching role, you know, I want to use manners because I can really show them kindness and respect without actually performing a task just by doing these manners.
Well, in a business world, it doesn't hurt to study your audience. If you're going for an interview and you walk in there and they say, well, tell us something about our company. What brought you here? And you didn't even look at the website.
I ask every single time I interview somebody. I say, what do you know about
BHB? Incorporated. And we're like, oh, well. Alphabet soup here. I like the alphabet. I mean, yeah, I don't have a clue what we're doing, and you're showing up for this interview. You didn't do your research.
You want to hear something funny?
Let's hear it.
Oh, that story. Okay, this is hilarious. I'm in our Deer Park clinic just the other day, and I was just passing through. I was there for a couple of meetings. Stopped in to check on them, say hi, and she's like, "Hey, I've got I was talking to our manager over there." And she's like, "Yeah, I got an interview here, and she's going to show up any minute now." Well, we're just cutting up and laughing at the front desk, just being silly. And the lady walks in, and it was a young lady, and I could tell that she was dressed pretty nice. So I assumed I was like, "You know, yes, ma'am, can I help you? You know, what are you here for?" She's like, "I'm here for my interview." And I said, "Okay, well, that's great. You know, what position are you interviewing for?" "I'm not real sure. They just said they'd show up for the interview." And I was like, "You're not real sure?" You know, she didn't know who I am. I'm not behind the counter. Yeah. I'm standing on her side of the counter as if I could have been a patient, you know? And I was like, "You showed up for an interview and you don't even know what position you are." It's like, that's hilarious. But that's how this generation doesn't have that set of manners. This lady didn't seem disrespectful. I'm sure her intent was not to be like, "I don't really care about this job." But in my world, in my set of manners, what I, as a 46-year-old male, grew up in the South, that showed disrespect, and I likely would not have hired that person based on that. I'd have made that interview real short, or may have just said, "Hey, you know what? We filled the position. Thank you for your time." You know?
And if you're working business to business conversation here, same thing. You're showing up to, if you're trying to sell your product, have some knowledge of the people that you're working with. What are their local ethics and etiquette and how they act, interact? It might be different, some nuances different than yours, but pay attention. It just shows that you care.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe at the end, the crux of the whole thing, you just show that you care about other people.
Yeah. I think just talking this out with you guys, one of the things I want to take away from this is, you know, manners are important. They're going down in importance in some situations, but manners, especially in a public setting and in a business setting, I think they're super important. And I would say, have more manners than you need in every situation. Like they always say, dress 10% better than you need to.
Yeah.
So I think that kind of the same thing with manners is what I'm thinking, is what I'm going to take away. Have 10% more manners than you probably need.
Yeah. Well, I think that manners shows you that shows the world that you have a servant's heart. You know what I mean? And that you're, you know what I mean? Good. And
so I like that, Garrett. That's probably a great way to wrap it up. Maybe there's not specific manners that we need to adopt, but it's an attitude towards it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think serving others would be a great place to start.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate everybody.